So something, it was ruling the other day in the UK, and I found this fascinating. The headline is, woman wins right to seek money from ex-husband 30 years after breakup. So let me just like sum this up for you guys.
Okay.
Okay. They get married when they're like 20. Okay. He's already got a kid. She brings him in. They don't have a lot of money. She makes it work with him, raises a child as if she's her own. They have another child together.
Mm.
They survive on state benefits.
Mm.
They break up. She's living on minimal. He becomes a multimillionaire. She then sues him for more maintenance, and she wins.
It's so weird. I was having this conversation with a colleague the other day that the laws of paternities and, you know, divorce law and all of those things, they favor the woman, and they should. Right? We as guys need to now realize that the system itself and how it's been structured with hierarchy and patriarchy for so long is completely, I'd want to say irrelevant, but it's not, because some of the systems are still dictated to by men.
Mm.
But it needs to change. Mm.
Mm. So I use this example a lot, and tell me what you feel about it. So obviously for forever, men have been benefiting from the system because they created it.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So we're now in a situation when we want things to be equal, but it's been the other way for so long that if we were to try to just make it equal now, will we actually ever get to a point where it's actually equal? So I think of it almost as a pendulum, and it swung really hard one way towards men.
Mm.
We're wanting to get to the middle. Mm. I don't feel that we can get there without being completely extremist to go to the completely the other side. So the pendulum swings.
Yeah.
We're up to the other side. And hopefully, once we realize that that's also a shit idea, okay, that maybe we'll fall in the middle.
And but it'll
It'll land in the middle. But I feel there's going to be some casualties along the way.
That's true.
I mean, I always hate the idea that when you watch TV and stuff, the powerful woman always kind of seem solo.
Yes, she's always on her own.
She's always on her own. She's Prada, and her man hated her, and there's that level. We were talking about it over lunch the other day. Why does that happen when the woman earns more, the guy is okay with it, and we want you to be okay with it.
Right.
But that lack of respect and like drive merges into something that just ruins the relationship a bit. Because fundamentally, and we were both saying like, it's sexy when your man's ambitious. And you don't ever want you to be like, cool, boo, take care of me. But in the same light, I want to be able to take care of you. Like, I want to take care of the things, our needs, and add to the table and be just as valuable. But
I want to be a partner.
And it happens because, like, the same way, like, that men are kind of like, well, I pay for everything, so this is how it's going to be. It happens when women start having that power. And like Laura said, it needs to meet in the middle.
It's like I said earlier, right? The person that has the money dictates what is going to happen next, unfortunately. And that's the part of the equation that needs to change. And it will change with how you guys communicate about what needs to happen in a relationship outside of the physical rand value that it brings.
So what's the value on other stuff, really? You know, how are we going to decide on this? And that's a conversation that you have to have, you know?
Yeah, less minimizing on like financial things, because it can go both ways. You're like, well, I pay for everything. And you're like, yo, well, that's just signing, like, pushing a button at the end of the day.
Right.
And you're like, well, you just kind of have to cook.
Yeah.
Minimizing. Minimizing on both parts.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes.
It has to happen. And the more we are conscious of it, the less we'll do it.
And I don't think us as guys, and I'm guilty of this, are conscious of it. Because I've had moments when I would appreciate a home-cooked dinner, and it feels like we're at a restaurant and you've made a huge effort and you've gone to town with it, and it feels like we're at Marble, right? And all of this has come out of our kitchen. You know, that's value. I mean, if you wanted to put a rand value on that, we could talk about how much time you put into the recipe, the research that you've made, and you had to call up your grandmother or your aunt or somebody.
Consider what you like, you what had you're allergic to. Consider
all of those things, right? Yeah, to make sure that it's the perfect meal, that I'm happy about it, that we're both happy about it. So it's not just about the physical rand value.
That's exactly it. So you could eat out or I could cook for you. What means more to you? And that's such a basic way to look at most situations.
Yes.
Like there's always an easy out or an effort solution.
Right.
And the effort solution has more to your heart.
That's true. It has more sentiment.
But the money value sometimes just easier and more relaxing.
It's convenient.
And then that's a value in its own right.
On the other end of the scale, blesses.
Ooh. That conversation.
Yeah, let's have it.
With blesses, it's really simple. There's even a starter pack now.
What?
To be a blesser. Yeah, there's a starter pack.
How do I find this?
For starters, you need...
To be a blesser.
Above, yeah. To be a blesser, you need above of 12 figures, right? So no less than 10 million... In the bank, right? Because that 10 million essentially is able to buy you an apartment in the north of wherever it is you are in South Africa, whether you're in Durban, in Cape Town, in Bloom, or in Joburg, right? It then puts your Slay Queen in there, another part of the starter pack, and you're able to travel. And traveling anywhere decently at the moment costs no less than 300K. And if you're doing this every quarter, you know, it's a good meal by the end of the year. So you need deep pockets to be a blesser. Not everyone is cut out for it. A lot are pretending or trying to keep up with the real blessers. And 4 years later, they're crying.
They're sad.
What happened? Then they blame the woman. They're like, oh yeah, you finished all my money. No, she didn't. Situation, knowing exactly what the deal is.
So what is the deal? I need to understand this because I'm a little low on facts here. So like I need to understand, how do you become a blesser? How do you become a blessee? How does this work? Is this like an exclusive Tinder that I don't know about?
It is an exclusive, very high-end Tinder, if you will. So the blesser will have a blessee whom he can call on at any time for any sexual favors. And it's always about sex, right? Because they never necessarily go on like dates. It's always extravagant or nothing at all. We can't Netflix and chill if I'm a blesser, for instance.
That's not the
deal. The deal is, okay, where are we flying to next? When we get there, we live our life and we come back and we'll see what we do on the next thing.
And you have to put out on those trips, I assume.
You put out.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Oh, what
return.
If I'm not in the mood?
You're like, not getting that's paid, a real girl. Thing.
I don't think you can be...
According
you
to cannot the blesser handbook.
not in the mood. That's
where
not part of the
deal. Where do you download this ebook?
Who's going to write this book for us?
Yeah, no, actually, we need to write it and go find... Yeah, because there's evidence everywhere on social media, that there are certain criteria that you have to meet. There's even groups on Facebook where you get recruited to be a blessee. And
what is the criteria for that?
You have to be, it's all about aesthetics.
Hot.
More than anything, you have to be a 10 plus. And most of them are like 16.
What?
Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 10 of hotness, you have to be a 10 plus. And most of the blessees are like 16. So you're
years old?
No, 16 out of 10. They are 16.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, I was just about to say, I think freaking out there for a second.
No,
like,
not age.
Hold up, this is going to be an investigation.
Just in terms of the scale.
I think for me, the awkward turtle in the room, and I'm just going to address it. Like, what if I just don't want to have sex?
You don't get paid then.
No, but it's just not okay because...
But then don't sign up for it.
But
this is a consensual thing, so I'm, you know, is this like a contract you sign? I'm not saying, I'm just trying to understand it.
It's a verbal thing more than anything. So it's not a physical piece of paper that you've signed that we're going to do this. But if I've bought you a million rand plus apartment in the north of Joburg.
It makes you a dick. The fact that you feel like you can buy anything. It makes you a dick. If I treated you that way, I'm like, well, you know, William, got you this laptop today.
Mm.
Best you do what I tell you to do. That makes me an asshole. And that's the kind of thing we need to talk about.
Like, but as a woman, as a blessee, you can say, do not accept that laptop. And then deal is over.
Mm.
But I need it.
And the unfortunate thing, blessee would never turn away the stuff.
That's the thing. Because
that's what the blesser knows for sure. He knows that you need the latest product. And if I get this for you, you can't get it. You've got no other means of getting it yourself. And that is the draw card, what draws you to him and how he pulls you in.
I think, well, maybe it's just me. I don't want to speak for all the women out there. But I can't have sex with you knowing that it's not like a passion thing.
Mm.
It's a
babe, then you're not blessy material.
Yeah, that's why there's always lots of bottles.
You don't get the list, girl.
There's always lots of bottles of champagne, you know, to numb the pain.
Yes, you see champagne with the blessy situation. Mm.
Wait, this is a non-judgmental space. I want to be very clear about this. We're here to understand.
Yes.
I'm not judging you.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't know where you come from. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know why you are there.
We ought to go with history and what we've read in articles and social media posts and threads. Blessers are usually people who are married, are bored at home, and are looking for a bit of fun. And they're looking to hold on to that bit of fun, which then becomes a transactional relationship, as it were. Like, the blesser is very aware that this is a transaction. Hence, he's happy to pay for all the stuff. And the moment any of those boxes are not ticked, the deal is over.
As if it's transactional, then I would think that there would be a contract.
Mm.
You get to stay in this.
There usually isn't.
Well, they're married. They're married, so they don't want a paper trail. So this whole thing is, you know,
who's married though?
The blesser.
Remember, the blesser is married. Blesser.
Yeah. I thought you meant the blesser and the blessee are married, and this is the situation. When did you give me that?
The blesser is married usually.
I mean, I would like to call out, and I really hope someone steps up. We want to interview a blesser.
Mm.
And a blessee.
It would be lovely to hear firsthand, because we are also going on information that we've read, things we've seen online. So it would be really crucial to get firsthand account of, okay, you're a blessee. How did this happen?
Educate us.
You're a blesser. Why?
Yeah, I want to. Like, I've never been more hungry for this information. I want to understand.
Mm.
There are probably blessers that are women.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know they're out there.
You
know,
they are.
Please,
we know they are. We've seen
I'm
them.
Telling you now, if you are a blesser and a woman, you can keep it anonymous, but I want to hear from you, because we need to start discussing this kind of stuff, because if that's your vibe, girl, just own it.
I mean, also there's been another, and this could possibly be another conversation for another day. There's been arguments between, because Instagram also tells you a lot about what's happening and who's doing what. So there is a community of blessees whose life is sponsored by the blesser that we see and lives on Instagram. Mm. And then you've got a group of other young people, women who actually work for their money. They work hard for their stuff. So the lifestyle that they present on Instagram is their hard-earned money, right? Mm. And then you've got the audience, us watching. We can't tell the pages apart, because we don't know, and we don't have a paper trail of where what comes from when it lands up as a post on Instagram. So there's always these threads of people fighting, even on Twitter. Mm. Like, yeah, but I'm not a blessee. I paid for my merc.
Mm.
Like, well, I've got a blesser who paid for mine. It doesn't make me any different from you.
Still got it.
I still got it.
Yeah, still drive it.
I still drive it. Yeah.
I'm not even
losing any sleep. Exactly. So that's another conversation as well.
Sure. So many conversations.
Mm.
I think the bottom line is, you know, I just started off as a conversation about a relationship. And please don't get me wrong. I don't think blessees and blessers are the same as getting married.
Mm.
Well,
no.
But in the way, same way. Different type.
I mean, at the same, in the same token, and I'm going to go back on what I just said. I'm okay with being wrong. Sometimes marriages are transactional.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan. I just watched it and I've been going on and on about it to Laura about Love is Blind, Netflix.
I'm watching it.
Oh, I've just seen the highlights, haven't even watched it, and now I have to.
But yeah. We have to talk about these things. They hit in that experiment fundamentally.
Yes.
The touch points of relationships.
Mm.
So blessies and blesses aside, there's so many things that people, and it was to me, when they got to that awkward point about like Amber and I can't remember her guy's name, Barnett.
Yes.
Barnett. Well, they were like, well, she's like, I'm not really working right now. And she's beautiful and she's fun and she's everything you want in a person.
Right.
But she's got no financials to bring to the table.
Yes, in fact, she says she's got $18,000 in education loan debt and all of those things.
And then she has like $20,000 in credit card debt. And
So question, does that make a guy an asshole for backing out of that conversation knowing that? Or is he being like, are you thinking about yourself? I don't know. We need people to feed in on these conversations.
Actually, I think in this case, the guy was just being clear about the kind of woman he wants. But unfortunately, in life, you will not get the perfect, perfect thing.
Yeah, but it's all about what you want to accept. Again, going back to values. So what are my values?
First, yeah.
You know, like there's certain things that I will accept. You told me this in the beginning.
Mm.
I would never have pursued this.
Well, I think...
But it wouldn't have come out in the beginning because in the beginning we are, and it's a social experiment, we're not seeing each other. Mm. It's just a conversation. We are trying to read each other based on your voice, what you're telling me, and the information you give me, I'm able to bring out a lot more about myself. So the financial thing and how many people I owe and how much I owe wouldn't have come up in our conversation because it's more of an intimate conversation that would have only come out when you and I are intimate.
Mm. So this is like the intention is to get intimate, right? So
in that sense,
what I'm saying is also from his side, if this is something that is so important to you, surely you would bring it up earlier. I mean, you haven't the whole premise of the show is to get married.
Well, they did. That's what's cool about it is they acknowledged the conversation very early in the relationship. I'll tell you now, I probably have waited years before I've told anyone about like my financials before I'm comfortable to do that. It is a conversation you need to have. Like like wrapping up back to where we started, you have to have that conversation upfront. This is where I'm at. And that's the taking I'm taking from Love is Blind. It's an important conversation to have. How much money you want to bring to the table, what your situation is, because we can take it from there.
Yeah, all the deal breakers, in my view, need to be discussed early on.
Mm-hmm.
We need to all know what's on the table, right? Are you in debt? How much debt are you in? What's your plan of getting out of it? What's the plan in the future?
Am I the plan?
Right? what's the plan? What's the plan? My deal breakers would be, so I had a situation not long ago, in fact, I had a situation where I lost everything. I literally lost everything. I wasn't working. And the person whom I thought was a ride or die was not a ride or die.
Mm.
Right? Granted, I was also a little depressed. Perhaps I was unattractive, but I had thought that we had reached a point in our relationship when we could weather the storm, because the storm never lasts long, right?
Mm.
But certain things started coming up. The fact that now we couldn't go to certain places and we couldn't do certain things, which I was happy for us to do because I could afford that lifestyle.
Mm.
You know, she started changing and eventually one morning she left for work, never came back. And that was the end of us.
Were you living together?
Yeah, it was a real thing. It was a... Oh, cool. So when all of this goes well, we're going to get married, right? Yeah, sure.
But when it goes bad.
That's the part. And I didn't blame her. I understood where she was coming from. This is not the deal she signed up for.
Mm.
She wanted things to be hunky-dory all the time. And, you know, those are some of the deal breakers, right? And some of the things you never really truly know about the person until you're actually confronted with real life situations to say, well, what would happen if... Like we were saying earlier, money was cut abruptly. How would you react? What would be your immediate reaction? Mm-hmm. Do we work things out together as a team collectively, or do you freak out and run out the door?
Freak out. If we wrap this conversation up, because we're never going to get to a common point.
Yes.
But everyone's different.
Yeah, money is important. Mm. It's an important conversation to have.
Mm.
And I think, and I know I'm being blue sky thinking right now, but it doesn't matter who has more.
Yes.
It's how we communicate, how we use it, how we go about it.
Mm.
And whether you have more or I have more, the whole premise of equal partners is so important.
Mm, that goes beyond Rand value.
It goes beyond Rand
value. Why do you love me?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do I bring to the table besides my job, my money, both ways?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And those are pertinent questions.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool, guys. So we're going to wrap it up now. I think we covered some pretty heavy topics. I know that I just need to go and, I don't know, decompress after that. Damn. But also, if you are a blessee or a blesser, please holler at me. Like, I really need to know.
We've got questions.
And there's, like, information that I really need the lowdown on because we clearly don't have the answers. Mm. So please DM us. And let us know what's up, and maybe we'll interview you on the show.
Also, I'm curious, like, what is the true meaning of a ride or die? Because we've seen in books and in some stories where the women do stick it out, whether the guy is in jail or whether the guy is going through trouble.
He's gone to war or whatever.
They stick around.
Yeah,
I heard that about one of our local celebrities, like your ride and die person. You literally, if you have nothing, that's when you tell.
Mm.
Like if your woman or your man really love you.
Mm.
I want to know how everyone feels about that.
I'm personally curious.
Yeah. Mm. Before we wrap it up, I need your social handles so that all our peeps can follow you accordingly.
If you are ride or die, please send your submission to hello@ifisforfemalepodcast.com. We will pass it on to William.
On Instagram @WilliamLahong, on Twitter @Lahong, Facebook William Lahong.
Rad.
Cool. Speak to y'all soon.
Cheers.
Awesome.